Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. It's a beautiful evening.
It's an evening. It's a dark evening. If you want to know something interesting about the weather, Grand Rapids has had 5% of sun.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like, or was there, like, there was some like thing. It was like how many minutes and it was like nothing.
Yeah. I was having a really rough week this week. And then I realized I think I have really bad seasonal depression right now and immediately took some vitamin D.
I was going to tell you to go for a walk, but I knew you had a lot going on. I think it was it yesterday that it
got sunny for a moment.
Yeah. And it was like 50 degrees out.
Yeah. I went out for a drive and went grocery shopping. Okay, so I like good. Got outside.
Yeah. Cause I took McCoy for a walk and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Air. Fresh yeah. air.
If this is your first time listening, we're a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
Sometimes suffering with seasonal depression.
And sometimes talking about the weather in Michigan. We're just two gals in Michigan.
Yes. And if you've never watched the entirety of Grey's Anatomy, highly recommend you do so before coming and listening. This is a spoilers podcast, so don't be mad at us.
If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by going to Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can be an intern, resident, or attending. We have had some new patrons in the new year, so really grateful for those people hopping on. And you get some bonus things, rewards.
Yeah, one of them is called Post-Op, which is where after we call time of death, if you're listening on the Patreon app or through that RSS feed, you get bonus 5 to 10 minutes of conversation. Today we're talking about the Beanie Feldstein character, Tess Anderson / Desmond.
Yeah.
So if you want to know,
interesting.
I know. So if you want to know our thoughts on that, you will have to be a patron. You also get bonus episodes. We do monthly Zoom hangouts. There's a Facebook group, which now that Grey's is about to be back on, it's going to be popping again. I feel like our listeners are very dedicated to the show. And if no one else in your life cares that Ellen Pompeo is leaving, you should join our group. Because yeah. everyone there cares.
Yeah. I think you posted on the Instagram, which is another place that you can follow us at The On-Call Room Pod. Her, like, it's coming back, Grey's.
Yeah. And that's her final episode.
Right. What date is that?
February something.
Great. So February 25th, Drive to Survive season 5 of
what's that?
The F1
Formula One.
Yeah, series is coming out, and maybe Grey's Anatomy that week as well. We don't know.
Big week, big week.
Yeah. I also think I have a thing going on for school that week. So looking forward to February.
I was about to be like, that's Valentine's Day, but it's not.
Valentine's is the 14th.
I know. The only Valentine's Day that I've ever cared about was the one that we double dated on. And you read that beautiful poem at my favorite restaurant that doesn't exist anymore.
I know, Marcona.
And I felt like crying. That was a beautiful moment.
Maybe I'll find that poem again. Also, we could do a double date again, but you don't care about the one where Jake and I went out and you and John were like, I don't know, doing... Were you gone?
I was probably traveling.
Were you in like Honduras
probably
or something?
Somewhere.
And I think John was on night, so he was working.
Yes.
And
you
Jake
spent so much money that night.
Took me out, man. It was great.
Can we also talk about that on New Year's Eve, Jake kissed everyone?
Every single person.
I know.
Even some people you didn't know.
And then our one friend, one of our girlfriends, I liked that before New Year, it like happened, she was like, if any of you do not consent to a kiss, please raise your hand now, like in preparation. I was like, you and Jake should get along just fine.
Just fine. I kissed a lot of people that night too.
I don't know why. I feel like when Jake starts that, I take a step back. Like, we don't need both members of a couple making out with everyone.
Yeah.
One feels like he takes the flag with that.
Yeah, you know? I don't think John did either.
John and I are similar.
I think I kissed every single person. And it was weird because like some of the people I'm like, oh my God, I just kissed you. You know?
Did you kiss our friend's new boyfriend?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I did kiss him.
Wow.
I think he was like the third person I kissed.
Did I kiss you? You kissed me. So I did kiss you and Jake, which makes sense.
It makes total sense.
Oh, I might have kissed Reva also.
Wait, did we
and
kiss?
Devin.
Is that why I have a cold sore?
No, fuck you. I didn't have it then. I kissed Devin too. Yeah, what if I just gave cold sores to everyone? You know, Jake got a cold sore this week. Have you two been kissing?
We might have been. I think I've started my semester again.
Oh yeah, this is when it happens.
Yeah, and then I just text, like I made it through the holidays, start my semester, text Abby, like I have a fucking cold sore.
I had mine over Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So yeah. It was gone, I think, by the time New Year's Eve. I wore lipstick on New Year's Eve, so I think it was gone.
It's really weird. Okay, I know the listeners don't care about this, but I don't care because maybe they do. Maybe some people have herpes, simplex, whatever.
Why, does it come back in the same spot?
No.
Oh.
How often do you get them?
Mm, when I first got cold sores.
Like the really bad time.
I got quite a few times a year. Now it's about twice a year. Once around the holidays, usually.
And once in summer.
It's like after wedding season. Yeah, one at the height of summer, usually after also like a big sunburn.
Right, which can like cause it.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same spot.
Yeah, mine is my lower right. So I've only, this is so weird to me. And I've heard this, that like I never had cold sores. And after I got COVID, I got a cold sore. And like
your immune system.
Like it like kicked it into gear.
Oh yeah, I had one in May when I had COVID.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot of people, like because if you have the virus floating around in you, but your immune system is able to suppress it, like after having COVID, people have like noticed that they've gotten an uptick in cold sores.
Interesting.
And so that was my first one I got after I had COVID, which was like, but so I've only had two and they haven't been that bad. But what was really weird was the night before I woke up with a cold sore. So I woke up the next day, I had really bad eye pain. Like it felt like I was getting a sty almost. And it felt like really bad nerve pain down the side of my face where I got a cold sore, which I think makes sense because it's like part of the like shingles family.
Yeah, it can affect your nerves.
Yeah. And so, because I was like doing research afterwards and it's like kind of rare, but some people who get cold sores.
You can get them in your eye.
I heard that too. But the next day when it like showed up on my, the pain was gone in my eye. It was almost like it was like about to pop out and my whole nerve down my face.
Understood the
what was happening. Isn't that why? The body is wild.
Super weird.
Yeah. So now I know if I get that eye pain again, I might be a part of that small percentage that gets that. And I can probably expect a cold sore the next day.
Start taking those pills.
Yeah. Except for I think it gave me a neck rash, those pills.
You pick and choose.
Or I'm like, is it the pills or do I just have chafing on my neck from neck rolls? I don't know. I just don't
know. Blame it on the pills.
Yeah.
Not, I think it's the pills
not the
for sure.
Neck roll chafing? Okay.
No. That's like in the summer when I like lay out and then when I stand up, I have two big white lines where the sun doesn't see.
Sun doesn't shine there.
I love that. Okay. So I just want to preface too, because I know she'll listen. I watched these episodes with my mom and my mom remembers these so much more than me. She was like, you remember the part about the bear? Like I was like, no.
Well, she probably remembers because she watched them more recent.
But she kept quizzing me and I was like, I don't know the answer to any of these. I literally don't remember anything about these episodes.
Does your mom watch like current Grays?
Yes.
She like keeps up to date with it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Has she gone back and rewatched any?
I don't know. I think she's watched the first few seasons a second time.
Okay.
I don't know how far she got.
Have you turned on? I mean, last?
Grays?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well,
I know. Someday
you have time.
I'll re-enter
I
society.
Feel like maybe when you're quilting, you should maybe just have
some. Well, I should because Netflix is the only thing I can get in that office right now. I need to get a Fire Stick or a Roku.
You should just put on like a random season 3 episode and just see how you feel.
Right now, like as I said last week, I've just been consistently watching the Always Sunny podcast.
Oh,
because it's a video podcast.
Because it's a video podcast.
I love them so much.
I mean, they're really funny.
And I'm absorbing them in such a large, like a 12 hours a day type of.
So who's your favorite?
It's really, are we talking who, in what way? Just like, who do I want to be best friends with? Or who do I think is attractive? What's the.
Who do you think's the funniest?
I think Glenn's insane.
I think Glenn is absolutely insane and so funny. And I think he might be Dennis.
Right. Like their rage is the same. I think Charlie is the most clever. Like I think Charlie's jokes make me laugh the most.
Yeah.
But like in the podcast, this isn't a spoiler. Glenn goes on this like topic of like things that he's always wanted to do, but like does it. And one of them is like kick down a door.
Oh yeah.
And then they do that. They like recreate it. And then there's the other thing he wants to do is try to fight someone chloroforming him. Like the fact that his brain is like has this list of things and that's on it. He's wild.
But also like Rob McElhenney talks about how he brought a bat out with it in like a fast food line with his kids.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you listened to that one. Yeah.
Oh, I've listened to all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like I'm completely.
Yeah. I did not think he was right for doing that.
No, he has extreme rage problems.
He does.
Too.
He is the most attractive to me.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure.
So but did you see the one that when they all got really drunk, they took shots of whiskey at Rob's house and Caitlin Olsen comes out and like they're so drunk.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that.
Charlie's just playing guitar. Like it's like 2 hours of watching drunk people.
That's really great. That's great.
Yeah. So anyways, I've just been doing that. I wonder if that's what it's like for people who binge us.
Well, but if you're caught up, you should put on a Grey's.
Okay. I don't know why I don't have a desire to.
Ooh, you know what I watched? What? I watched Florence Pugh. Have you seen that movie she's in called Wonder?
I tried watching it, but I was a little distracted.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's not like, I wouldn't say it's like a 10 out of 10 movie by any means. It's eerie. It has like very eerie music.
Yes.
But if you didn't have anything to do or anything to watch and you wanted to sit, you could put that on.
I really love Florence Pugh.
Yeah, that's why I brought that up because I know you really like her.
What was I just watching? Oh, well, I told you we watched Yellowstone. We don't have to talk about that.
We finished season 17 of Top Chef. So
is
we
it
have,
done?
No, we have two more. So that was 2020 more. Season. So we just started season 18. We have two more seasons. That's it of Top Chef. But then we have Top Chef Masters.
Which is that like the winners compete?
I think it's like really well-known chefs compete, which would be really fun to watch.
Did you watch The Bear yet?
No, I tried and I just couldn't get into it.
Sad day.
I mean, maybe I'll try again
someday.
You just
won a Golden Globe.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And it was cute. At the very end of his speech, he said, I love acting. Aww. And I thought that was cute.
Because
I think a lot of those people might be jaded.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah. Anyways. Did you watch the Golden Globes?
I was at my class.
That's right. And I watched clips.
And when I got home, I was like, I do not have the capacity to be, I just need to cry at my counter.
Jennifer Coolidge is.
I saw her speech, which was great.
And did you see I'm sure everyone did, the pre-interview thing when that someone asked her what role she was always wanted to play. And she's like, I've always wanted to play a dolphin. What?
Yeah.
I'd love to have her on the pod if anyone has any connections.
For sure.
Should we just dive in?
Yeah. Why
not? I feel
like
there's kind of a lot.
Okay, so we're on season 16, episode 13, 14, and 15, Save the Last Dance for Me, A Diagnosis, and Snowblind. Do you want me to read the first monologue?
Sure.
Okay. I needed more time. I can't tell you how often I've heard surgeons say that after losing a patient. We think in time. We talk in time. Doses per day. Life expectancy. Take two and call me in the morning. And what is a heartbeat if not a ticking clock? A clock that's always counting down. The heart beats until it can't. Our limbs move until they don't. Our brains imagine futures we'll never see. We're struggling to overcome a simple, inescapable truth. Everything ends. But for every clock that counts down, another restarts. Time goes on, but time's not real. And when one thing ends, something new always begins. Meredith Grey.
We give children stickers and lollipops after they visit their doctor. We congratulate them for putting on a brave face. Needles in their arm, strangers inspecting their bodies for signs of illness. Here's some candy, kid. Try to smile. We do it to adults, too. It's considered impolite to discuss your cancer diagnosis at a dinner party. You're supposed to smile, make small talk, suck on the invisible lollipop, because for some reason, someone decided a long time ago that naming pain is impolite, that hiding it and hiding from it makes more sense. It doesn't. It's a lie. A lie that both comforts and destroys us. A survey showed the typical adult says, I'm fine, 14 times a week. Wow. But less than 1 in 5 of them means it. Our default is to put on a brave face, but sometimes it's braver to admit something's wrong because pretending everything's fine eventually catches up to you. And when it does, you better hope you can repair the damage that's already done. Meredith Grey.
I say I'm fine a lot.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that. Working on it. Personally working on that. When I was a kid, I would wake up every morning in the winter and immediately open the curtains to see if it was snowing. And it usually was. It was Boston. Schools would close. People would hunker down, light candles, and eat everything in the refrigerator. Everyone loves a snow day, except for one person, my mother. She always said the same thing. Meredith, surgeons don't get snow days. She was right. We don't. Right after a storm, I would run outside. Whether it was the air or the fresh blanket of snow, it always felt magical or new. But as beautiful as it is, the snow starts to melt, and you're suddenly standing in dirty slush, frozen and unable to feel anything at all. But after enough time, even that disappears. The ground thaws, days get longer, and though you could never imagine it, you start to feel again. It surprises me every time. Meredith Grey, that is how I feel about January in Michigan.
I know.
It's not snowing, which almost makes it worse.
Yeah, I was thinking about like opening the window and seeing snow. Like that doesn't happen anymore. Like, I feel like my memory of a kid is it was snowing all the time.
All the time. I feel like it does not snow in Michigan as much as it used to. I say that now, and then we'll get like a fucking huge snowstorm.
Well, we either get like a lot all at once, and then it turns 50 degrees.
Yes. Yeah.
I would be fine with like 30s and sunny with snow.
Yeah, me too. That sounds totally
Doesn't
fine.
That sound
like
great,
like
Denver.
Dry, like dry roads.
Yeah,
you know, but like
snow on the ground.
Yeah,
because right now I walk outside and I look at my yard and I go, I should rake leaves. Like well, shit is that, everywhere.
I know that's so okay. Speaking of raking leaves, just very quickly. So we did a really good job picking up all of our leaves, but our freaking neighbors across the road didn't.
Did not.
So during that huge blowy storm, all these leaves blew into our yard.
No.
Snow, snowed, and then all the snow melted. So now we have a shit ton of leaves in our yard. So John was like, I'm going to rake this weekend.
Yeah, because, I thought about if it was warm enough, I might do the same.
Yeah, but isn't that dumb to rake in January?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what? This is wild.
I know. Anyway, shotgun workup.
Joey Phillips, broken clavicle.
Irene Schulman, stage 4, colorectal cancer, bowel obstruction.
Scott Burke, chest lacerations, left hemothorax, deep soft tissue facial injuries.
Rachel Burke, severed brachial artery.
Oops. Suzanne Britland, hemophagocytosis, macrophage activation syndrome, Still's disease.
Elisa Tang, alpha-1 antitypsin deficiency and cirrhosis.
Tess Anderson, adrenocortical carcinoma.
Leslie, pregnancy crush injuries, liver laceration, whoa, punctured heart, cardiac tamponade.
Andrew DeLuca, frostbite.
Frostbite.
It's like, as if it's hard enough being pregnant, you have to get run over by a car. Feels like, just like, why?
It's awful. Rants.
Because I'd hope that, like, while I'm healing from all those things, I also, like, but, like, can I not be, like, how come I also have to be pregnant?
Yeah, no, it's not fair. That poor, poor woman.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have—
I'm going to read this first one because I fear my writing. Like,
well, do you fear your second writing? Because yeah, it's just as long.
I know. I'm so sorry. Okay, here we go. DeLuca brings in Dr. Riley, a diagnostician, to do what she can to figure out what is wrong with Suzanne Britland. After a minor heart surgery, she convinces the doctors that in order to get to the core of the problem, it's necessary that they take her off all of her medications in case they are suppressing the true symptom. While it just seems that Suzanne is getting worse, Dr. Riley and DeLuca feel that they are getting closer to finding the answer. However, DeLuca hasn't slept in days and he's starting to show manic symptoms. Karina approaches Meredith about her concerns and Meredith goes to Bailey. Bailey orders DeLuca off the case and puts Meredith on it instead. The last test that Dr. Riley and DeLuca perform before being kicked off the case finally comes in with the results that show she has a very rare disease called Still's disease. They quickly run into the room. DeLuca ignores Meredith's requests and he gives the patient a high dose of steroids. She instantly feels better. Meredith and DeLuca fight it out in the hallway and DeLuca ends things with her. During the snowstorm that hit Seattle, without even thinking, DeLuca offers to walk to Seattle Press, which is 3 miles away, to retrieve something that will help save a patient's life. He doesn't wear gloves and he goes against Meredith's wishes. When he comes back, he has frostbite on his hands and nose.
Catherine Fox Foundation purchases PacNorth, absorbing it into Gray Sloan Memorial. Tom Karasik is in charge of re-interviewing all the previous doctors before they get their jobs back. This includes Owen Hunt, who he makes wait an entire day while he interviews everyone else before him. At the end of the day, Meredith, Richard, Bailey, Hunt, and Jackson come together and say they are all prepared to quit unless he meets their terms. Needless to say, Tom is overpowered and agrees to their conditions, getting them all their jobs back at the hospital and making Maggie co-chief with Teddy and Krab co-chief with Hayes. LOL.
I know.
While Richard is back to work and supposed to be training the new group of interns, he can't seem to find joy in the job anymore. Bailey tries to help him, but he's just too sad.
I would pause and not read the rest other than...
Oh, right.
Because we're going to talk about it in post.
Okay, so we got blah, blah, blah. After...
Yeah.
There?
That sentence, yeah.
After everything calms down and Tess is back in her room, Richard tells her that the reason he had her help him operate was because he has a tremor forming in his hand.
Bailey and Joe work with a boy named Joey who is separated from his foster siblings. They convince him to stay in the hospital for his surgery and Bailey slowly gets invested in his life. In order to get him to feel motivated enough to do his PT, Hayes and Bailey get in contact with his foster siblings and bring them in for a pizza party. When it's time for Joey to be discharged, Bailey is concerned about the weather and where he will go. She asks him if he would like to come live with her and Ben until he finishes high school. She says she has extra love and extra room to give. When Ben gets home from work, he sees that Joey is playing video games with Tuck in the living room wearing his clothes.
Amelia wasn't quite ready to take the paternity test, and she tells Link that she needs him to know what will happen, or she needs to know what will happen if the baby is Owen's. Amelia then stops going to work and is in her bed having a really hard time. She sits with Maggie, who listens to her and helps give her advice, speaking from many different perspectives. Link comes into the house to check on Amelia, and Amelia comes down the stairs and tells Link that she won't be finding out the paternity test results. She wants the baby to be raised by someone who will love her and the baby without needing to know genetics, and that is her sister's. She ends things with Link. Teddy starts to take notice of Amelia missing work and Link being miserable, and she tells Tom that she thinks the baby could be Owen's. Tom reassures her that Owen loves her, even though it hurts him. When Teddy asks Maggie if she has any reason to worry, Maggie confirms her worst fear. Teddy then finds her way to Owen's apartment.
I meant Tom's apartment.
Sure. Tom's hotel room comes into the door and they begin to make out.
We still don't know where Alex Karev is gone. At first, we are told that it's a family emergency in Iowa, but we start to learn that he hasn't answered any of Joe's calls or texts. Meredith even texts him and we see him start to type and then disappear. Joe leaves him a voicemail saying that she needs to hear his voice and she needs to know what is going on with him. When Link comes to visit one evening, she tells Link that she believes that Alex left her. She called Alex's mom and he was never there to visit her at all.
Levi finds out from Nico that he has not even told his parents about him because he has also not yet told his parents that he is gay. This upsets Levi as Nico used to call him a baby gay and said that he would not be a part of Levi's shame spiral as he comes to terms with his sexuality. Nico refuses to talk about it. He also tells Levi that he doesn't want him to live with him permanently and makes sure that he's looking at places to move in. When Levi tries to talk about what is going on with them and his emotions, Nico resorts to sex and says that Levi is trying to change him by forcing him to talk about his emotions.
Hayes and Meredith continue to work together and talk to each other about what it's like to be widows at such a young age. Meredith tells him about DeLuca and that he is the first man she has said, "I love you" to since Derek died. At first, Hayes said that Christina didn't say anything about Meredith to him, but as they are leaving work, he says that Christina mentioned having a twisted sister and that this must be Meredith. There is definitely some chemistry forming between these two. Wow.
Okay.
What's your first note?
So my first note is, DeLuca and Mare are having sex again. Are they back together? And then my next note is, what foster kid was that in Station 19? They're like talking about a foster kid.
It's Joey.
I know, but...
Oh, but we don't know the context of that yet.
Right.
Yeah, there must have been a crossover.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, because I think the Station 19 people somehow rescued those kids.
Yeah, because we don't have like any information on that ever in Grace, I feel like.
No, I don't think so either. Also, I did look up the character Joey.
Uh-huh.
And was that my mom? I can't remember who I said this to. He definitely did live with them and like... until he graduated.
Yeah.
And then
I think he's like a part of their family. I think he gets brought up.
Is he on Station 19? He's not on Grace.
I mean, is Tuck even on there anymore? Like,
that's
I
true.
Think maybe he gets like talked about.
Okay.
But like, he definitely like comes into their family.
I know this starts a fight between Ben.
I think
and
so.
Bailey because she didn't communicate. I think it's not that he's against this issue. It's just that like, we're a family.
You can't just bring people home.
Right.
Without talking
to me. I did
think
it was really sweet.
Oh my gosh, I know.
It's like, especially watching him and Tuck play video games.
I know. And just the way she like looked at him and was like, "I want you to come and finish out school. And then I want you to come back for Thanksgiving."
Yes, that whole idea was just really emotional.
Like when she said, I don't know, I have the line somewhere where like, "I have more love to give." I got really teary eyed. I think too, you know, she just had a miscarriage.
Yes.
And like, so her heart, she has more love to give.
Yeah, I feel like when you find out you're pregnant, you must like muster some sort of, there's like all of a sudden this love for something that like you didn't have a minute ago until you knew you were pregnant. And I feel like when you lose a child, you don't lose that. And I love that she's taking this love and she's putting it on Joey.
Yeah.
With zero expectations, really. I mean, like, I just think it was very cute and beautiful. And I liked how Hayes and her worked together to get the kids there. And
I'm sorry, I didn't ask you your first note.
It was Joey from Station 19, ? Foster child.
So similar thing.
And then, go ahead.
I was just going to say about Joey, I thought it was not nice to, I thought like Joe talking to him was helpful, but then I thought it was really sweet when they brought his like siblings in.
Yes, I know.
And like had pizza.
The one thing about the Joe thing, I get sometimes like, I don't know, maybe it would. I'm not a foster child. I have no idea. But I feel like experiences are so different that like Joe's always to like all sorts of like, I was in foster care too. I know what it's like. And I do think, yes, there's a level of understanding, but also like situations are so unique. I know, I think about things in my life when the first thing someone says is, oh yeah, that reminds me of my thing. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I'm talking about me right now.
Yeah. Like it's not, that's not always helpful. Like that's not necessarily like empathy. That's just like you making it about yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like there's that often a lot, but it doesn't matter. I don't know. The Joey thing was cute. I have not much else to say about it.
Yeah. Where do we want to?
Okay. I want to bring up. Let's just go right into this.
Okay.
How the fuck did she buy a hospital so fast? Catherine bought Pac North in 5 minutes.
In a day? Like, there has to be so much fucking paperwork and so much legality. It's a fucking hospital.
Right. I don't understand how that got resolved so quickly.
Catherine's a powerful woman.
Think about the merger between
the other
two hospitals. What a big deal that was.
Mercy West. Or even think about with the, and I mean, this had to do with the plane crash, but them buying the hospital.
Yeah, it took weeks.
It took like 8 episodes for
Catherine,
them to.
I wonder what she offered them.
I'm sure it was way over asking and they were just like, sign the dotted line. And then she got rid of it, right?
Yeah, I think it like got absorbed.
Yeah, like, so it doesn't, which to me, I'm like, how is that helpful to your community?
Right. We're going to get rid of this hospital.
We're going to get rid of a hospital. Like,
you can't hire everyone.
No. And also, like, it's clearly probably at a different location than Seattle Grace.
It's next door.
Like, it just doesn't seem helpful. Like, even if you were to absorb it, I would imagine that you would still keep that build. Like,
even if they should have known COVID was coming, they could have used that second hospital.
Yeah. But instead, they just got rid of it. I'm like, that does not seem like a great.
No.
Like, do no harm, doctor.
I also don't like that in these episodes, we don't see Catherine.
Right. Like
I feel, which I guess that's because she's probably like directing or something, but like.
She's signing her name on things.
But like, I so understand, like Richard is pissed and I get it. Like he can't be moved around like some pawn.
And then everyone has to like interview for their job again with Tom.
Yeah, bullshit.
Cool. Okay. So I want to talk about Tom a little bit.
He's not perfect. Mean. Yeah.
He's like, I know he's not perfect. And I do like him some of the time. But like the way that he is like treating everyone, it's like a fucking game to him. And
it's like he's the little man and he's bullying now.
Exactly.
To overcompensate.
Yes. And he has like this power dynamic that just, it just drove me crazy. I was like, wow, he is really quite awful.
I would like to see how we got an Owen therapy session. I feel like Tom has a lot to work through.
Because I also feel like that is not good leadership at all. Like,
right.
So it's interesting too that like, yes, Tom is a really good surgeon, but Catherine puts him in charge. Is he really the best person to put in charge?
Right. Not a good leader.
No, not at all.
I was glad they all like ganged up, I guess, to like lay down the law. I also feel
we're all prepared to quit.
I also feel like it was such like a, he probably would have been fine with those. Like, I don't think he was really going to not let Owen have his job. And like, I don't know.
But I think they just wanted it to come to an end. Like, this is bullshit. And also, again, like, you closed a fucking hospital. This is petty. We're not able to treat people because Owen, as much as we hate Owen, like, he's a good surgeon. So here he is sitting in a room all day, not being able to treat traumas, you know?
Yeah, this was not a good episode for Tom. I will say the one thing that I did, that the one part that I liked about Tom, which is less than a normal, was when, not the snowball fight, because fuck, I did not like that.
That was bad acting.
It was so annoying. But I enjoyed the part where he put down his own needs and told Teddy that like, Owen loves you.
Yeah.
However, I feel like him being that way made her love him.
Yeah, so do you think it was actually like a way to... I don't think he's smart enough, honestly.
I don't think he is either.
Also, what was with that snowman outside? Did you notice that?
The snowman?
There was when they were doing the snowball fight, and it was like the most ridiculous, perfect snowman. I'm like, Who came outside of the ambulance bay and made a snowman?
It was from a set. They just put it there. Yeah, I don't know. Also, I do know that it can snow in Seattle. It just, they had like that huge ice storm just recently where people were like sliding down streets. But does it snow that much there?
I don't know.
To look it up. To our Seattleites, let me know.
I know that in like Portland, which is kind of similar, right? Climate?
Kind of, yeah. I think so.
Because is Seattle more north?
Don't ask me. I don't want to try to act smart on this podcast.
I think it is. I don't know. But I know that like once in a while, they'll get a dusting.
Yeah.
And the everything shuts down.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, same with like Atlanta.
Salt.
They don't have salt. They have like one plow.
Right.
So you can't.
Be prepared.
You can't be prepared because it doesn't happen enough to allocate money to that.
Right. It isn't something that you feel pride of in winter when like how prepared you can be for snow. Like,
yeah.
Like the also, fact that, think about like, what our weather was over Christmas and we drove places.
Well, we just like know things too. Like we drove out on Christmas to my parents on Christmas Day.
And it was
the roads,
wild.
And the roads were a lot better than Christmas Eve. My parents didn't come out to us on Christmas Eve, but it was still bad. Mm-hmm. And we knew, like John was like, I want you to make sure you have gloves, a hat, a blanket in the car with you in case we go off the road.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like we just know to have extra warm things in case we go to the ditch and we have to wait to get towed.
Yes. I keep hand warmers in every pocket of every coat.
Yeah. We have like a blanket in the car. Yeah. You got to do that. We should have water.
Yeah. Well, you could eat the snow.
No. But you're trying to keep warm, remember?
Oh,
like if it's really cold degrees, you don't want to open the door and go outside.
True. Yeah.
So you should have like a gallon of water. But what if
I have wiper fluid. Can I drink that?
Absolutely. I think that's actually what it's for.
Actually, yeah, that's another thing. Jake always makes sure I have like a jug of wiper fluid in my car. Because if you run out of that shit.
You're fucked.
Yeah. The only annoying thing is I can't figure out. They need to bottle it differently because it just. Yes. It just like, rolls around my car. Yeah. No, like it's like I'll set it upright. Mm-hmm. And then it will fall over. And then I'll put on my brakes and you'll just hear like bash.
Yeah.
Like it needs to be a cube.
I wonder if you can put, I don't know.
It shouldn't have any round sides. It should just be a cube.
What else do you keep in your car?
Right now, just that, because I just got my car detailed, so it's empty. But this is what is annoying, is I brought a tub in my car to like put everything that was in it in there. That tub is just sitting in my garage. I cannot bring myself to go through it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like so, because it's like things that don't have a place in my house.
Right. That's why they go in your car. When I lived in an apartment, there was stuff that just stayed in my car because like I didn't have room for it in my apartment. Like my beach chair was in my car
all year long.
Where now I have like a garage in the basement and stuff. But we got a new car. So like, it's very like thoughtful what I've put in there.
Because you both use it also, right? Or no?
I mostly am the only one who uses it. But like, I just am like, I don't want to just have a bunch of random shit in here. So in my center console, I have a mini sticky thing for lint.
Yeah.
I have hand wipes and hand sanitizer and some tissues.
Okay.
And...
Yeah, the amount of times I've blown my nose on like an old McDonald's napkin because I'm like, I don't have a tissue.
Yeah, I think that's it. And then I have, I bring those in my purse.
Okay.
And as the days rotate, like I might have a different reusable bag in the trunk.
Yes, mine started out like that. And I will tell you, when I emptied it, there was like a birthday card that I bought from Rebel that I never gave to whoever it was for.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of sunglasses. Cords, like used to be a charger cord. And then it's this, lots of hand sanitizers because I think during COVID, like I was just always thinking I needed one. Masks, lots of masks.
Oh, see, I don't have any
in the depths of my
console. Oh, I might have one in my console.
The weirdest thing in my car, although it's no longer there, was a bag of my extensions.
Oh, that's really weird.
And when they cleaned out my cabin air filter like years ago, and I don't know, I went to Cheeky, they took them out, I put them in my console. I don't know why
they
did. And I forgot. And then when they were like, you need to clean out your cabin air filter, can you open that for me? And there was just like a bag of hair. I was like, do they think I murdered someone?
Probably.
Or am I a stripper?
One of the two.
Yeah.
You know what I need to get in my car?
What?
Tweezers. Because sometimes in the right light, you look at yourself
and you
see a weird hair.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, to just have those just in case.
There's a brand that makes like bags called CalPak. Have you ever heard of them?
Uh-uh.
You could use any bag. But they sell it as a car organizer.
Oh, yeah.
It goes in your trunk and it like expands to, and it has sections.
Yeah.
And I really like that idea because in the summer, especially with my job, I accumulate a lot of shit in my car.
Yeah.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Outfit changes. I have like an emergency box for wedding days.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. My like a little assistant person put that together for me. And it's honestly like—
Do you have a Tide to Go pen in there?
Yes, but I actually no longer, I need to replenish. I gave it to someone.
Well, like what are other things?
A sewing kit, toothbrush, toothpaste, mouthwash, band-aids, tampons,
hairspray?
Ibuprofen, Tylenol.
Hairspray?
No, deodorant.
Static guard?
Yes, there's a static guard. Like it's anything I could possibly need.
Yeah.
The ibuprofen went first. Oh, and there were granola bars and stuff too. It was honestly
genius.
Safety
pins?
I think in the sewing kit, yep. There's a safety pin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have ripped my pants at a wedding before. So I could just sew them now. Now I know how to sew.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to be gone for an hour.
I got to go sew my pants instead of just having an extra pair of pants. I feel like you would knowing you, I feel like you have an extra pair of pants on you.
I always keep Crocs in my car.
See?
Although not too much in the summer, because did you know Crocs can shrink?
Dude, I'm not surprised because I feel like they're similar
to those
Soothies,
yes.
And a pair of my Soothies shrunk.
Yeah, because of the sun.
In the sun, yeah. They're like really tight on
There's
my feet.
There's some TikTok I saw where someone pulled out their Crocs and they were like baby Crocs. And I don't ever want that to happen.
No. Wow. That was like...
That's okay. That's what they're here for, the listeners.
Anyway, that's the episode. That's all we have in this. It's just talking about what's in our car.
Okay, what are your thoughts on... we talked about the... first of all, what are your... Like, why do you think Teddy went to Tom? Or like, what's your take on that? Was that the right move?
Like, no.
Is like Amelia, is the child possibly being Owen's? Like, why does that trigger her to go make out with Tom?
Because I think that Teddy, I mean, going back, Owen has chosen time and time again someone over Teddy. And then even when Teddy came and she was pregnant and then Amelia answered the door, you know, like, and Amelia was there. It's been time. And then Christina, all these different things. So it's a story that she's telling herself that if it is Amelia's child, that Owen will still have love for Amelia and like want
choose
to
her.
Like, you know, choose that family with Leah, you know,
right.
Instead of, even though they now have a child together, or maybe it's the fact that like, then Amelia is very much going to be a part of their lives. And like, she's always going to have to wonder, like, is Owen questioning if he would have been happier
with Amelia
and then taking time away from his own family? And like, what does that look like? Like, I'm not a step parent, but I know it's a really complicated feeling being a step parent. So, and she's already, I don't know. So I think those are all the things and all this fear and anxiety. But instead of going and talking to her soon-to-be husband about it, she runs away from that anxiety into something that she thinks would probably either make it go away or someone that isn't as complicated and will love her for her.
Right.
Those are my thoughts.
I think that's great. I did not know that she slept with Tom. I knew she did on the wedding day.
I have that
I
same
note. I didn't know
note.
She did twice.
I think she does more than twice. I think she like has an affair with him. Mm. Like, cause I think a couple times she's like, I think the wedding night one is her being like, we can't do this anymore.
Right. And the fucking voicemail.
Yeah. Oh God.
It's like, it gives me more reason. And also it's like, she couldn't pick two people that hate each other more.
Oh, yeah, but they hate each other over her.
That's true. But I also don't think they'd get along. They're so
different.
I don't
think they'd get along either, but I definitely think it's, you know, deepened by the fact that both of them want to be with Teddy.
I
will also say that, like, oh, and I can't believe I'm going to say this about Owen, but like, I feel like since he's been with Teddy and since Teddy had Allison, like, he has surprised me and he has never responded to Teddy in the way that like she thinks he's going to.
Right. Even like that Halloween episode. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. There are so many different moments of like, I'm not a good enough mom. And like, you know, when she was on maternity leave and he was like, you know what? I'll just do this. Like, that's totally fine.
No, you're very right.
Like he has very much accepted Teddy for who she is and shown her. So he's not like, so it makes me sad that she goes to Tom because Like, even if she went to Owen, I don't know that Owen would respond. I feel like he's proven over and over again that he's not this person anymore.
And it's also crazy.
Weird for me to say this.
No, it's also crazy then to know, like, fast forward to where we are in season 19, they're not in a happy marriage.
No, because Owen pulled some Owen shit.
What did he do? Oh, well, yeah, but it was...
Yeah, but it was illegal.
Yeah.
And her whole point was like this... You can't parent from prison.
No, I agree. But I do believe he's been dedicated to Teddy ever since. It's wild, though, that, like, I don't know, it just makes sense. They shouldn't have, I wish they hadn't done this part of the story. Because ultimately, Teddy doesn't end up with Tom.
Right.
To me, it, like, would have been some sort of payoff. But instead, we end up with them, like, in a marriage that maybe isn't the best. And Tom goes away.
Well, I also don't know that it isn't the best. Like, I think that's also marriage. Like,
that's true. Well, they just learned how to have good sex, which that can take a while. But how crazy was that?
That we'll get into that when we get into that. But, you know, like, marriages have seasons.
That's
and I
true.
Think it's not really, like, they're in a season that's shitty right now. But, like, I guess my hope for my marriage is if, like, I'm going through a rough patch with my husband.
He'll talk
someone's
to you.
Not, well, no, someone's not looking at us like, I don't know why they got married.
That's true. That's you know? True. Like, I only do this to my fictional.
Your fictional people.
Friends.
Yeah. But I just feel bad. It just feels weird to say this. I feel bad for Owen.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
He is, like, being such a good dad and a husband. They're not, and, like,
yeah.
just proposed. With the ring that he's been carrying around for a long time. It wasn't like a out of the whim proposal.
Yeah.
Like, he was planning on doing it.
Yeah.
And I just don't think what she did was the right move.
And he also, like, this is way down the road, but he does end up finding the capacity to forgive Teddy.
Oh, yeah, which is impressive.
So, I don't know. There are some things about Owen. We can say he's doing an okay. He's a good dad.
He loves kids.
He loves
kids. He wants
kids.
As many as he can have.
He loves kids. Well, and that could be why Teddy is so nervous, because he loves
another
kids.
Another one for him to collect.
Yeah.
I am thankful that Grace did not make the child his.
I know. Imagine.
Too much. But also, the whole Amelia thing, I didn't remember this part either. Like, we know ultimately that it is Link's child.
Right.
I feel, I don't want to, like, give an opinion on, like, what I would do. Like, I do think what Amelia says, though, I thought that was just, like, really good about how, like, right now she wants to raise the child with someone mm-hmm. that will love her and the baby despite that. And even though I agree that Link deserves to know,
mm-hmm.
I would, like, how the way she says, like, I would forever wonder if the reason you're with me is because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering what happens next. Does he decide that no matter what, he wants to be with her? You know, ultimately they do get the results.
They do. Speaking, like, of the Amelia thing, can I talk a little bit about Maggie?
Yeah.
When they're laying in bed together, first of all, I think it's really great that, like, Maggie comes in, checks on Amelia, and Amelia's like, I gave you, like, space.
Yeah.
And so you give me space. And so she's like, fine, just have a bite of toast. And then she leaves and she comes back with, like, tea, and she's like, well, like, I was an only child, but you weren't. So I'm going to come lay by you. I called off of work. And there were a couple lines. I was really emotional during this scene. I cried.
Same. It was a great, great episode.
The line that Amelia says, I want him to love me enough that that doesn't matter about.
I have that too.
Like, I think we can all think of a moment in our lives that we have either been with a partner or struggling. It doesn't have to be about pregnancy. And we just want to be loved enough that, like, whatever that other thing is, that doesn't matter. So I really felt that. And then when Maggie holds Amelia and says, you're not going to be alone. Also the part where, and I don't have the exact line, maybe you do, where she's, like, giving all the different perspectives. And then she's like, but what if you were me?
Okay, but can you stop pretending you're Link?
Oh my God. And the way she says it, and she's crying, and, like.
Yeah, because I think sometimes as friends, or, you know, you, like, you're trying to provide the other perspective
yes.
for them. And I think sometimes it's that whole thing of, like, I don't want you to solve this for me. I just want you to feel what I'm feeling.
Yes.
And sit with me in that. And when she said, the hormones might overwhelm rationality, and I might just want to be held and loved no matter what, and reassured that I'm not going to be alone. Sometimes that's all we want. And
yeah.
I love that she had the emotional intelligence to also ask for that.
Yeah, and then Maggie does that. She holds her and kisses mm-hmm. her forehead and says, you're not going to be alone.
Duh.
I do think, too, it was important for Maggie to realize when Link's there, she's like lying to him. And then Maggie comes down, she's like, I was lying to you. But then when Matt, I do think when Amelia's like, says all the big thing and like, we're over and walks away, I think it's important that Maggie does say, like, I think she's has a lot of hormones and she's pregnant. Like,
yeah.
I do think that is a fair point. Like,
yeah. She's like also making sure that if Amelia changes her mind, she's not burning bridges.
Yes.
Like yeah. She's kind of like covering all the bases. I think it would be so, I think part of what Amelia's fear was that if she doesn't just go with Link, like or if the test results are Owen, that she's going to have to raise this baby alone.
Yeah.
And I think it was a really beautiful realization for her that like, she actually will not be alone. She might not have a romantic partner, but she'll have her sisters.
She'll have her sisters.
And I think she needed to hear that.
100%. And we think about like Meredith, like those two sisters, yeah. Maggie and Amelia are like aunties to her children. And like, it's just this fucking compound
big
of like
family. Yeah.
Like whatever. I mean, and yeah. And then she, I mean, spoiler, doesn't even end up with Link in the end. And they're all together again.
Exactly.
You know? So
I will say there's not much to say on this part. Just right after that, when Jackson shows up at the door,
yes.
I actually really loved that.
I did too.
I loved that he apologized. It's what she's been waiting for. And mm-hmm. like, it took him a while to realize it, but he's like, apologizes for leaving her in the woods. And then I love when he adds, plus you were right, there are bears. Like, yeah. But like, I felt that that was just a really good closing. And I feel like now they'll be able to move forward as like friends.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Like, she has been angsty towards him because he never acknowledged his part of anything.
Right.
And it was really big of him. I mean, it took him a long time, but it was big of him to finally come. Like, he could have realized it and then still been like, but I'm not gonna.
Right.
That's in the past.
I love it. I bet you if you compiled all of the scenes where someone shows up at the door of Meredith's house,
oh.
Those are like top scenes.
Oh, those would be so good.
Wouldn't that be good? Yeah. If anyone is good at video editing.
Like a good, we should check on YouTube. That might already be on
because
there.
Because that, there are so, like, oh, that one.
Or sneak out there. I just watched one where like all of the people are like sitting on the couch. Like, I think, well, it's not Lexi. It's like Krav, maybe Izzy. All these people are sitting on the couch and Mark Sloan sneaks out the door from Lexi's room
yeah.
And no one sees him, but Derek is coming in. Derek's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I just seen if you want to grab a drink. And Derek's like, it's 4 a.m.
Yeah. Or like another favorite is after the bomb episode when Derek just comes running in to and, look at Meredith.
And then talks about the shampoo.
Because
yeah. She tells him the smell or yeah. whatever.
Doesn't he just say, like, I just had to look... What does he say?
I don't remember, but
all
it's,
I'm
beautiful,
hearing is
but it's beautiful.
All I'm hearing is Bradley Cooper when he goes, I just got to look at you for a while. Whatever he says.
I just got to take another look at you. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Damn.
Do you think him and Lady Gaga had sex?
Dude, I think they did.
They had to have.
That performance at the Oscars was the most insane thing that ever happened.
Also, like... Like, I'm sure if they did, they don't think about it as cheating because they were like, we're method acting. Like, they're both so serious about that their roles that I feel like they were just like, we're writing the story.
Have you seen like the compilation of Lady Gaga talking about Bradley Cooper? And it's like the same things over and over. Like,
just repeats it.
Yeah, this in all her interviews.
She always has that phrase that's like,
he's
99 people in the room and he's the only one who looked at me or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
That I've only seen it once.
It's a lot to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I've listened to that soundtrack across the United States, but I, yeah, I've only watched, you know what? Maybe I'll watch that soon.
Jake watched it and didn't finish it. He like had to go do something and hasn't put it back on. He's always like, I don't know how that ends. I'm like,
that's a big part of the movie, man. That's a big part of the movie.
He doesn't know. I also always wanted her hair when it's brown. The Lady Gaga brown hair with the bangs.
Oh, interesting.
I know,
didn't
a lot
think
people
it was
don't
a great
like it,
look
but
for
I
her.
Like it. I like it on me.
Can we talk about that Oscar performance? The way they sang at that piano together. And I remember watching it live. Like,
His wife was there.
Being like, I can't believe they're doing this. Like, this is so inappropriate.
Do they know we're watching?
Like, his wife was directly in front of them in the front row.
I would not have allowed that.
And she just she handled it very well. But I would have been
seething. I mean, there's
seething.
A lot of money she got from that.
From
like,
the divorce?
From that movie? No, I just mean like, probably. But like,
I don't
movie.
Even think they were married. I think they were just partnered together. And they had a child together. Yeah.
Ugh. Can you imagine being that child someday and be like, Dad, did you fuck Lady Gaga? Because like, what is this?
Because what the fuck is this?
I
don't think Barbara Streisand was pleased with Lady Gaga reinventing.
Oh, did she? Don't get mad at me. I've never seen fine. That version. Did she change the character a lot?
I mean, it's been altered. Was like the fourth one, okay. I think. Because Judy Garland was also Star is Born. There might have been one before that. So, or there might have only been three. I don't really know. I think there are three. And Esther Hoffman, which was Barbara Streisand, was the second one to Star is Born. It's a very similar story, I think, throughout all of them. But I think Barbara was just, you know how Barbara Streisand is just kind of like.
Do you know what Barbara thinks of Funny Girl happening?
I think she said something that like Lea Michele's very talented voice or something like that. I think has a very talented.
I wonder if she's seen both performances.
I don't even know that she has seen them and I don't know that she would go and I don't.
She would have to watch it somehow in a room where no one knew she was. Like if you, I feel like those actors couldn't do it knowing she's in the audience.
No. And I don't know if she ever said anything about Beanie, but I have a feeling. Right.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
But I think there was like a comment or a quote from her that she was like, yeah, Lea Michele has like a nice voice.
Interesting. Good to know.
No one is Barbara.
No. I've been listening to that version because I...
Barbara?
The Funny Girl. Yeah. Because I will admit that I didn't know. Like I wasn't familiar with Funny Girl.
Sure.
I've heard of it never, other than Don't Rain on My Parade. I'd never actually like heard it through and through. Chris is dying in his grave right now. Our friend Chris is listening to this.
Yeah.
But I have been listening to that version and it's great. Love it.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I can only picture you dancing to the Jingle Bell song on this whatever night that was.
What night
jingle
was that?
Jingle Bell. Why were we drinking? It wasn't New Year's.
Was it the solstice?
Did we get drunk on the solstice?
Yeah.
Okay. I bet it was that.
Holidays, man. They just all roll into one party. Okay, you keep talking. I'm going to pour some wine.
Great.
Do you need any more?
I'll take a splash.
Do you want a cube?
Yeah, please. I would love that. Okay, what should I talk about? This would be where we would normally take a break, but this is a low budget podcast. Okay, I'm going to talk about Alex Karev being gone because next episode, we're going to do a standalone and it's going to just be about that one. And I feel like there's no amount of prep that they could have done to make what happens acceptable, especially like how is Joe well enough to like have this happen to her and not crumble? Like this is after everything. I don't know. It's really rough. She thinks he's cheating on her, which I guess he is.
It's really sad to watch these three episodes like unfold because at first, like everyone's kind of telling her like, it's fine, Joe. Like he's taking care of something with a family. Okay. I put myself in Joe's shoes. And I know, like, Grey's Anatomy characters and stuff are different. But, like, it also is wild because John's family lives, like, 15 minutes away. But say they lived across the country.
Yeah.
And John just disappeared and, like, for days or weeks didn't tell me.
I would call his mom.
Immediately.
Right.
Like, I would be just nervous that he wasn't okay. But I guess maybe he was texting.
But maybe not saying anything.
Right.
The part that made me really emotional is when you saw him start to text Meredith back and then stop. First of all, I hate when people do that to me.
Dot, dot, dot.
Second of all, that the fact that he's not answering Meredith.
Right.
I think that was supposed to be our big, like, aha.
And it just really breaks my heart when Joe is standing there and Link shows up because he gets broken up with and like she breaks down and she realizes like...
He left me.
He left.
Oh, I have a note about that.
Yeah.
I meant to look this up. Is this the line that Christina says? Because she says, Link comes in to see Joe and she says, he left me. I think he woke up one day and felt the need to escape his life and me. I called his mom. He wasn't there. He'd never been there. He left me. And now I can't breathe. What does Christina say when Burke leaves her?
Christina says, he's gone.
But then does she say anything about breathing?
I'm free.
When she's trying to get the necklace off?
No, she just says, I'm free.
Doesn't she say I can't?
And then she says, damn it. Damn it. Damn it.
But when she's trying to get the necklace off?
She says, get this off.
Oh, okay.
Get this off of me. Cut it.
It felt, here's what I'm going to say. The acting, incomparable, cannot compare. That scene
with Joe did a really good job.
She did. And that scene felt reminiscent to me. Like, it felt to me like you look around and you realize that the person, like, because Burke's leaving was also incredibly quick.
Yes.
And this, I feel like it felt mirror-ish to me. And we never hear, I mean, we do eventually hear from Burke again, but it takes a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, this is like kind of the same thing. Like, Alex just fucking left.
It's really hard too, because I don't know if it's this episode. It might've been the episode before at the end. At one point she comes in, she sees the apartment's empty. I think we see it twice.
Yeah.
And then when she sees it empty again, and then when we find out, when Link shows up, she says, I thought it was you, because then we find out that she had called his mom and that he was never there. And to think like, oh, he never came. So, and then when someone walked in the door, like, oh, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, it makes me sick to my stomach for her.
I know.
And like not being able to get a response. And her biggest thing is people leaving her.
It's fucked.
Her biggest fucking trauma and trigger.
I do think that he should have died.
It's awful what they did to Joe. And I don't know how she is like a functioning character.
And I don't know if it's that they thought Meredith couldn't handle
I don't care.
Another death, but I don't know a solution that makes sense. This erases so much character building from him, in my opinion.
To me, it would have been better if he would have left Joe and not for Izzy. You know, like if he would have just left Joe, even like for his mom or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have worked because I feel like Joe would be like, well, I'll move with you.
Also, the whole kid thing makes no sense. Like, you know, his, well, we'll talk about it next week, but like, you can have your children and bring them into your life with Joe.
Yeah. This is going to be tough.
Or just become a missing persons.
Oh, that
they've never done that.
That would have been interesting.
I guess Izzy kind of, but not really. Like, they've never, that'd be wild.
They missed an opportunity.
That happens in real life.
It does.
Sometimes people disappear.
It's true. It does. Sometimes people get.
And then Olivia Bunsen.
Dr. Bunsen.
I almost mixed Olivia Munn and Olivia Benson and it became Munson. Bunsen burners could be on the
Who's
case.
Who's Bunsen burners?
Bunsen, isn't that Bunsen burner what you use in science class?
Oh, I was, is that why the Muppet's name is Dr. Bunsen?
Probably.
And Beaker?
I saw a funny clip from the filming of the old Harry Potter movies, like when the kids are little and Dan Radcliffe is like making, he's talking to someone. And
did you just call him Dan?
Yeah, we're friends.
Wow.
And he's like, it's funny that like during this like potions class, we wizards still have to use gas Bunsen burners. He's like, how have they not invented? He's like, can you imagine Dumbledore on the phone with like the gas company?
That's really funny.
And I never thought about that.
I use those on my Lego game.
Oh, I was like, when?
Dude.
I forgot.
Yeah, listeners, I've been playing Lego Harry Potter to disassociate because of my anxiety. And I really feel like Abby would like it. I feel like I have almost all the spells now except for one.
I've never played it because I never had the game. It sounds, it's before I was into video games.
Yeah, I feel like you'd like it. We can be like, it can be
play
two player.
At the same time?
Yeah, you can be two player. Because right now, sometimes only certain characters can do certain things, so I have to swap to them. So it's usually just the three of us. It's Ron,
Hermione, three of us.
And Harry. But sometimes I'm like other characters in certain parts where like, who have I been? I've been...
McGonagall? Dumbledore?
I've been Dumbledore. I've been the guy who is a chair.
Horace Slughorn.
Oh, I've been Crookshanks.
The cat?
Yeah. I've been the one who turns into a werewolf.
Remus Lupin.
Yeah.
I've been
a couple different Weasleys.
This is the level of anxious I was the other day, is that I wanted to disassociate by playing Zelda, but it's been so long that I've played that I'm anxious to play.
I get that.
I'm scared to jump back in.
That's how I felt about this Lego game, because I played it about a year ago and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like that's how I feel about Malan. I cannot... Dude, Malian's probably dead.
That's what I wondered. Like, that's how I feel about my Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
island.
Dude,
it's
Malian,
been a year.
My farm game, can't touch it. Like,
you haven't opened your farm game?
No, and Malian is 100% dead on Sims.
Do Sims characters die?
No, but she's dead.
Okay.
She's dead to me.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm glad you understand that. It's a strange anxiety.
Well, because it's like, how many crops am I going to have to harvest? Like, how hungry is Malian going to be? She's going to have peed herself. And so she's going to have to take a shower, but like, You know, it's going to be a lot of like rebuilding.
Right. And like, I miss being in so in the zone with Zelda that that was like my form of de-stressing.
Yeah.
But now like, I don't even remember how to shoot an arrow.
You got
to
rebuild. You got to rebuild.
Then my question is, do I start the game over? Like, so that like, no. I learn as I go?
No. You just jump. I have literally, okay, I'm 32. I still have not beat N64 Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Oh, I don't
from like 1996. I will not fucking start that game over. I turn it on every couple years, play a little bit.
Also, old games are so much harder to beat than new games because like you get to the edge of the screen and like you know that thing where like the wall disappears?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say what's nice about the Lego game, because I always feel like Zelda's really hard. You got a big boss thing you got to beat.
Yeah, I don't like those.
It's tough. Any of the Lego games, because I've played the Star Wars one a little bit too. They're like pretty approachable.
Okay.
Like sometimes you get stuck and then you just go on the internet. But like,
right.
You mostly like just hold buttons and like Legos build themselves and stuff. Right, and then you like beat levels. It's not like I had one boss. I had the lady with the hair who is in the... who works for Voldemort.
Bellatrix?
Yes. I had to beat her.
Ooh.
That was tough. Literally.
Are there like voices?
Yeah, she laughed and my rumble pack rumbled and...
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I just... Like my friend Casey who played the Zelda game.
Did she beat it?
Oh, yeah. When she beat the big character was when we were at a hotel room together in New York.
She freaking out?
Yeah. I was next to her and I was like, go, you know, like we were whatever. And then... it was like a month or two ago. She's like, I picked up Zelda and I started over and I beat it in a weekend.
Oh, fuck her.
And I was like, aren't you afraid of the robots? Because that's what I am. I'm afraid of them.
You know, I don't know what Zelda's like. This is the other thing that's nice about the Lego game. If you die, you have like 4 hearts. If you die, your Legos explode and then you just become that person again. You don't go back to anything.
Zelda's the same. You literally just, like, it's fine. Dying is literally actually not a problem.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't know why. It's because
the old Zelda, if you died, you went back somewhere.
I'm scarred from so many old video games.
Like, so do they just not do that anymore? Because it was too hard
probably.
And people threw their controllers?
Super Nintendo games, if you would die on that Mario, you're fucking back to the beginning.
And it hurts.
Actually, just my TikTok today showed me a video of a guy playing an old Lion King game. Uh-huh. And when he showed it, I was like, oh my God, I've had that. And he's like, this game like has why I have anxiety. Like no one can beat it. Kids would walk around recess shaking of fear. And like, it was just, same thing. So anyways.
Interesting. Did you ever play Banjo-Kazooie?
Fuck yeah.
So tomorrow my sister's coming over and we're having a banjo day. If you want to come over.
I really do.
We're playing it all day.
Maybe I'll bring my Switch.
Yeah.
And in the presence of community, I'll be able to open
Yeah,
Zelda.
We're just playing Banjo-Kazooie tomorrow and like eating food.
I would really love to pop by.
Yeah.
Is that the same sister I watched Avatar with? Did you know I went?
Oh, you went with both of them, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that you were going. I couldn't go.
I heard you just couldn't.
I was like, I haven't even seen the first one.
Oh,
like,
you haven't? Oh, it's so good.
I've seen like part of it at my sister's apartment.
By so good, I mean it's just wild.
And I was like, I can't do this. I can't go sit for 3 hours.
I went
and
on
do
a
this.
3-hour fever dream. Like it was a fever dream. Rachel, your sisters and I were dying. Like it was, we'll talk about this after the pod. There was a lot going on. It was very funny.
I heard that my one sister who really wanted to go didn't like it. My other sister who didn't want to go loved it.
Yeah.
So, and I was just like, I can't do this. I had that feeling of setting a boundary, like, I can't do this. But of course, I got a phone call, like, please come. And I was like, I literally can't.
I went for you.
Thank you.
I volunteered
as tribute.
You
became a sister for me. Anyway.
I actually, when your older sister told me what she was doing, I invited myself. I said, I would like to see Avatar. Can I come? And she was like, sure.
Which theater? Did you go downtown?
Downtown.
Nice. Second did you get a glass of wine?
I sure did. Rachel and I both did. And then I got my soft pretzels that I always get. And then Catherine and I shared popcorn.
I'll go to a different movie. I just couldn't go to a 3-hour movie of a sequel of something I've never seen about blue things. I couldn't do it.
It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet is in it. Well, she's a voice.
I'm not surprised. Sigourney Weaver is too, right?
Also, yes. There's an entire, the second half of it is Titanic. Like a boat is sinking and water.
Did you hear Titanic is coming back to the theaters?
No, but
for their 25th anniversary?
I need to take a Xanax before I go watch it.
Why?
The second half is a level of stress. Like something about water rising Did you see that TikTok that it was like what it actually looked like? And it would have been pitch fucking dark.
Oh,
like
I believe it.
And yeah. It's just so scary.
And what? Yeah. And a lot of people died. But that is another James Cameron movie. Well, didn't he do Avatar?
Yeah.
So you got to go. And it's another 3-hour movie about water.
No, I will go. The Wild. Oh, that's why the second half was, it was Titanic, which was just blue people.
Yeah.
A boat was sinking in the middle of the ocean at night and they were drowning.
Oh, it was Titanic. Yeah. Just with blue
people.
I didn't
know James Cameron did Titanic. I did not know that.
I don't know.
Also, did you know that this is the God, we are running so late. Okay. Avatar was 3 hours. The original cut, like before.
Let me guess. 4:45.
9 hours.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I hope I have this fact right. I think I do. Most movies with CGI, they make the cut before they add in all the special effects because it's too expensive to add special effects to things that they're not going to use.
Sure, that makes sense.
They have the entire, he did everything in full, like paid for the CGI. And that's why it took so long. But like, yeah, so like there is somewhere out there 6 more hours, which makes sense because there's a lot of holes in the plot.
Well, did you listen to the interview with Sigourney Weaver about how she learned how to hold her breath underwater?
Kate Winslet did too. There's a video of her for like eight minutes.
They worked with these like specific
guys. I'm also
guys.
Like, why? It was CGI. Like, I mean,
because that's
bodies.
What James Cameron wanted, man. James Cameron asked you. Commit and produce, man.
I'm about to go down a deep dive of that, kind of like I did with Top Gun, where I learned
of Avatar?
Well, like how they filmed it. Like it looked so realistic that at one point I said to Catherine, I was like, those aren't real. Like those people aren't real. Avatars are not real. It's wild.
Okay.
Well, I love it. Oh God, I love it.
Well, will you go see Titanic with me?
Yeah, of course I will.
Well, you just kind of acted like you wouldn't.
No, I just said I will be stressed out in the second half.
Oh, that's fine.
Like, do you remember what you were like during that Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The Bear? What was the one with the...
Oh, The Revenant.
That is me in the second half of Titanic.
Jake and I saw that together.
Yeah, that was dark.
In like a snowstorm.
Yeah.
On a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then some interesting things happened when I got home.
That is not even going in post-op.
Okay.
Okay.
Where even are we?
I don't know. Do you have anything else that you like want to talk about? Like, do you want to talk about Hayes? Do you want to? There's nothing to say about Levi and Nico.
Oh, we need to talk about DeLuca.
Sure.
Yes.
Rapid fire. Nico is an idiot.
Yeah.
He's just emotionally stunted.
He really is. And it makes me feel so bad for Levi. I'm like, Levi's so much more
vulnerable.
Ahead. Yeah. And just like wholehearted. And it makes me sad because I feel like Levi is like taken advantage of and made to feel smaller than he actually needs to feel at
absolutely,
all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then anything on Hayes, rapid fire.
It just makes me sad to think that like there could have potentially been, like we were like being built up to like, there's going to be something here. And then literally nothing happened.
Especially because of the Christina blessing. Like that felt really special.
Yeah. And like, it really did feel like something was like forming between it. He also seemed very protective of Meredith during like the last with DeLuca and stuff. Like also he speaks Italian.
Does everyone?
I guess. So that, I don't know. To me, it feels like a missed opportunity.
I agree. That's a perfect way to put it.
Okay.
DeLuca.
DeLuca. So were right.
It's like Monica in the Friends episode. The bigger her hair gets, you know things aren't going well. DeLuca's hair is getting awry.
Can we talk about, I know we're running really late, but we just quickly talk about the patient too? Because I thought this was a good storyline, but I also remember nothing about it. And I still probably couldn't tell you what ended up happening.
But what I will say too is I really liked the deaf doctor.
I did too. Yeah.
I thought she was brilliant. And I was like, wait, bring her on. A diagnostician is such a cool job.
I was also really happy to see that they were representing the deaf community and a deaf doctor on this show. I feel like they haven't really done that before.
No.
It was really interesting to see the mask too. So they could read lips, was... So I thought that was great that we had this on here.
Agree 100%. And like the way that the person translated, which I did think was like slightly unrealistic in which in certain situations, I'm like, how is the laptop seeing her right now?
Yeah.
But I thought that was brilliant. And I thought she was really smart. And I loved this, like, it felt like a mystery.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that aspect of it.
But I mean, DeLuca clearly was not sleeping.
No. When she said he's a machine, and Meredith's like, no, he's not a machine. He's a resident.
It was interesting too, because Karina really hasn't been on this show at all. And then all of a sudden she's just in the background just to be like, my brother's not okay.
Right. I wish she was on the show more.
Yeah. But to me too, I'm like, if you don't think your brother's okay and you know he has a or has he never been?
I don't think
he's not been diagnosed.
Right. And she said, this is about she's like, you wonder why, which felt like a big reveal. She's like, you wonder why I moved here. This is about the age that my dad started showing symptoms.
Yeah.
He's
bipolar. I think actually, I don't really know. I know that schizophrenia shows up in like your 20s usually.
Right, but I do know that that is a thing. It can show up later.
It's absolutely.
Yeah.
So I can't remember. Did Meredith say to DeLuca before she spoke to Karina, or which happened first, when she says you're acting like your father?
Karina said the thing about why she came here to Meredith, and then Meredith and him had that fight.
Which I don't think is helpful. Like, if someone is like having a manic episode and you're going to be like, you sound like your father, they're not well in that moment.
Right.
How is that helpful?
It's not.
I really feel like a lot of these doctors should do another psych round because they like don't know how to handle.
No.
I think about like all of these doctors have had some mental health issues and most of them don't know how to help the other person.
100%. And I also thought...
and also just like pulling them off the case like that too and being like, go sleep. That too is
not
helpful.
No, not at all. I feel like it then led to him making even more impulsive decisions.
Yeah.
I think like DeLuca, when he's going through this, like he's definitely, you know, exhibiting signs of like mania, but that also doesn't mean that he's not still himself and has his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And like the part when like he's yelling and then Hayes is yelling and he's like, Hayes literally just yelled and threw something. Like, I don't know. I feel like he's like trying to make sense of things at the same time. And like, going to go save a patient, while yes, he should have worn gloves, like that wasn't, he still like has good intentions. Like, I don't know. Like, I just felt like the way they handled him was just so wrong. Here's my other question with the blizzard.
Okay. Yeah. That was tough to watch.
They all got to work. How the fuck did they drive to work? Why couldn't someone drive to Seattle Press?
Unless they were all just already there and the blizzard hit, but I doubt that is what happened.
Right.
Literally, I feel like they could have, it was that bad of whiteout conditions that they couldn't drive.
3 miles?
3 miles. They could have put sirens on. Like,
right. It made no sense to me. I get it was for like the dramatic effect, but I was like, this storyline is dumb.
Yeah. And then, but he didn't wear gloves. He looked like troll hands when he came
McCoy
in.
I walked McCoy today and I wore mittens.
Yeah.
Hands being
I mean, that just shows again that like he's not well.
Right, right. Did anyone else think of Balto?
What's Balto?
Remember that dog that like traveled in the snow to get medication to a little girl? It's like an animated movie. It's a real story, but there's also like an animated movie.
How did the dog know to do that?
It was like a sled dog. And somehow it was... with a human, was brought to whatever. But then I think somehow the human died or something and the dog kept going on the route.
Knew?
And yeah, I think so. I got to look it up now.
That's really
but
powerful
But all I was
story.
Like, is he's Balto. I was, this is, makes no sense. I'm going to type something because I need to look at it. I used to have like a really like, okay, what's the girl in Space Jam? Oh, not Babs. Oh, in Max with Goofy. Goofy movie. The girl. What's her name? She's so pretty.
Roxanne.
Yes.
She's so pretty.
Okay, like there is a part of me that like, I was like, Roxanne is beautiful. I want to look like her, but she's a dog. Balto. the dogs in Balto. There's like a girl dog too. Like I remember thinking like they are so beautiful.
So is this an old movie?
Yeah, it came out in like the 90s.
Oh, I thought this was like a new animated movie.
No, it's definitely old.
Okay, Balto?
B-A-L-T-O.
Was it a Disney movie?
It looks like probably not. It's like that off, not Warner Brothers.
Balto.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. There is a like real photo of Balto, a Siberian husky.
Right.
But was a Siberian husky and sled dog belonging to a musher breeder, Lenhard Sepabala.
Yeah, let's see how correct I am about the story.
Okay, hold on. He achieved fame when he reportedly led a team of sled dogs driven by Gunnar Kassen on the final leg of a 1925 serum run to Nome, and the diphtheria antitoxin was transported from Anchorage, Alaska to Nanan, Alaska by train and then to Nome by dog sled to combat an outbreak of the disease.
Okay, so he was with a dog sled rider and other dogs.
Yeah, but... Okay, on February 2nd, Gunnar Kassen, a family friend of Leonard's, driving a team of the dogs, they handed off the serum package. They arrived in port safely after, where the final leg of the relay was to begin. The final team and its driver had believed he... I think they all survived.
Oh, yeah, Balto lived.
Well, no, I'm talking about the humans. Oh, yeah. Balto lived for sure.
Also, I don't like this. I'm getting pings on the when I Google this that's like, actually, another dog did all the work. I'm like, fuck that. It's Balto. But anyways, if you look up Balto movie,
okay,
maybe you'll see the animated dog that I used to think was just...
Oh, here we go. Yeah, here's the movie. 1995. Oh, that's a beautiful dog.
I just loved it. Something about... I was obsessed with dogs. I don't know.
This movie kind of reminds me of Scamper the Penguin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I loved that movie.
It's just of an era, you know?
Yeah. Okay, oh, there's a Balto 2. And a Balto 3.
Well, that's insane.
Balto 2, Wolf Quest.
Oh, I see that.
Balto 3, Wings
Change.
Okay,
Jenna. Okay, I'm looking at a female dog right now. What's her... Look up Jenna Balto. That's the dog I wanted to look
Jenna
like.
Jenna from Balto.
Yeah, just,
Oh, she's pretty.
She gives Roxanne
she
vibes.
She does give Roxanne vibes. That's really interesting. I wonder if there's a name for that of like wanting to look like an animal.
But it's like the aspects, the, of, like, the aesthetic.
Aesthetic of like the spirit.
Because dude, Roxanne, she's hot. She's probably like 8.
Roxanne had good hair.
And her nose was like that perfect. And her little birthmark. Oh, yeah. Roxanne's beautiful.
So we went downtown.
Am I a lesbian?
Maybe. We went for dogs. We went downtown.
Downtown.
To the Muppets thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went to like the comic book store.
Uh-huh.
And there's a bunch of board games in there. And like a bunch of RPG stuff. I found a really cool RPG thing for like feminism, which we should buy and do.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what life is.
But yeah. But then there was a board game like that was the Goofy movie. And I was like, John, we have, but I'm sure it was like $55.
Yeah.
But I might get it. If I do, would you play it?
Absolutely.
With me?
Okay. I'm looking at the most dreamy photo of Roxanne right now. She's like laying, it must be, I think it's like a dream sequence. She's like laying in the
grass. Yeah, that's when Max is thinking about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about her also. Just wild. So anyways.
I'm going to look at Roxanne real fast.
Look at, you'll see her laying in the grass with a flower in her hair. It's beautiful. She's beautiful. She's girl next door.
Yeah, she is really pretty. But I also love her friend if you also see who has the big hat. That would be me. You would be Roxanne and I would be
not a Roxanne, but thank you.
And
what's her friend's name?
I can't remember, but she...
Roxanne friend. Oh, with the hat. Oh, yeah. But she's cool too. She looks like Barbara Streisand. Wait, look at it.
Yeah, no, I...
Well, not the teeth, but like this one photo I'm seeing, this is Barbara Streisand. Stacy.
Stacy is her name.
That's...
That opening song?
Yeah. That's like I recently was watching that show, was it The Muppets? Yeah, The Muppets are with Miss Piggy. That's The Muppets.
Yeah,
Muppets. Sesame. Yeah, it's a show on Disney. It's like a mockumentary kind of
okay.
And
oh yeah, I've heard of that.
That it's so good. That version of Miss Piggy looks like Jennifer Aniston.
Oh really?
And I thought I was crazy. I was like, there's got to be other people that think this. And there is a Reddit thread of people. It specifically looks like her in the newsroom.
Oh,
like it is,
dude. Is there going to be another season of the newsroom?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Really.
That was years ago.
No, not the newsroom.
You mean, we're both naming the wrong show, but we're talking about the same one.
Yeah.
With Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
It's not called the newsroom.
No, it's not.
But you knew what I was talking about.
It was an Apple show.
This is an unhinged episode.
Apple show, Jennifer Aniston, the morning show.
The morning show.
There's got to be another one.
Type into your computer right now, Miss Piggy Jennifer Aniston.
Miss Piggy Jennifer Coolidge. Jennifer Aniston. Oh, yeah.
There's also versions of her that look like Jennifer Coolidge. It's like something about the way her
is
eyes
it me,
are.
Reddit, is it me or does Miss Piggy remind me of Jennifer Aniston?
The way she walks to, like, it's like Rachel from Friends.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not alone.
I can see it.
You see the eyes?
I see the eyes.
And the hair.
Oh, I love Kermit. Okay, who's your favorite Muppet?
I do love
because this is already unhinged.
I do love the two old men that sit up.
Yeah, they're fun.
In critique. I mean, Kermit's great.
I think Kermit's
my gym of.
Yeah, I think Kermit's my favorite. But
you should watch that Muppet show. It's
fucking
adult.
Love the Muppets.
It's adult humor.
I also love Rizzo the rat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I do love Beaker and Dr. Bunsen.
Beaker's great.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the doctor. He's quite abusive.
They're just funny together.
I don't like Fozzie Bear.
Yeah, I don't really care about Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear's dating a human female in that documentary.
Oh, really?
And he has to meet the parents. It's very funny.
Oh, that's odd. What do you think about Gonzo? Gonzo's pretty good, too.
What's that weird patriotic character?
Oh, the eagle? Sam the eagle?
Yeah, the eagle. Oh, I love the drummer that is an addict. In the opening of that show I'm talking about, they're like having an office meeting and he's like, my name's so-and-so. And they're like, this isn't AA. Like, there's like a joke about him being an addict. It's great.
Oh, that's, yeah, hilarious. The chef too.
Oh yeah, it's good.
Great. We love the Muppets. Let us know what your favorite Muppet is.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sesame Street are Muppets too.
Right. That's why my brain.
Like, I like Bert and Ernie too.
I don't really know Sesame Street as well.
That's fair.
Yeah. Although Elmo's on that, right?
Elmo's on that. And Big Bird.
And what's the green one? Count Dracula. Count Dracula.
Oh, he's purple. Oscar is green.
Oh, yeah, Oscar. But yeah, Trevor watches this old show from like the 90s where Oscar sings the song, I Love Trash. I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusky. I know all the words. I think I do actually know quite a lot of Sesame Street
songs. Yeah, you just didn't realize it was Sesame Street.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's just do notes and trivia. And then we'll get to post stuff. There's just like, this is long.
This is insane. Literally unhinged. This is what happens when we record in person at night.
Yeah. Next week we'll be sad. I don't know. Maybe we'll just rant.
We could start talking about the Muppets again.
It's true.
Notes and trivia.
Oh my God, I was right. This episode's title originated from the song Save the Last Dance for Me, originally sung by Michael Bublé.
Also, Save the Last Dance.
Great movie. Horrible dance.
Oh, wait, that's not the movie I was thinking of. Wait, what's that one? No.
Save the Last Dance with Julia Stiles when she does that hip hop.
Oh, what's the one with Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez?
I don't know.
Susan Sarandon.
I don't know.
Wait, Shall We Dance? It's called Shall We Dance. Yes. Okay. This episode scored 5.579 million viewers.
It is noteworthy that the people imposing the ultimatum on Tom are portrayed by the five actors who have been on the show the longest. Ellen Pompeo, Chandra Wilson, James Pickens Jr., Kevin McKidd, and Jesse Williams. The first three have been with the show since the beginning, while Kevin and Jesse have been on for 12 and 11 years, respectively. Their being on the show for so long is reflected in the status that their characters hold at the hospital, allowing them to make the demands that they do.
Kim Raver does not appear in this episode. Her absence is explained by Teddy being at home with the sick Leo and Allison.
The next one's title originated from the song Diagnosis, originally sung by the cast of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
And it scored 6.04 million viewers.
This is about Station 19, and I'm not even going to read it.
Okay.
Promotional photos show a scene where Maya offers coffee to Karina, but that scene appears to be cut from the episode.
Kim Raver is missing for the third episode in a row. In the previous episode, Teddy was said to be at home with the sick children. Well, in this episode, she has the flu.
The episode's title originated from the song Snowblind, originally sung by Black Sabbath.
It scored 6 million viewers.
This marks the directorial debut of Linda Klein, who has been an on-set medical advisor and producer since the start of the series and has also portrayed Nurse Linda in several episodes throughout the course of the series.
Catherine Fox Award. I mean, I think it's got to go to Roxanne or Kermit.
I was like, wait, who are they? Part of me wants to say Maggie for being a good sister, but that was really just that one scene.
Sure.
Not Tom, not Teddy.
Not Meredith, not...
Not DeLuca.
Not DeLuca, even though maybe the diagnostic doctor.
She didn't push him, though, to his limit. But that's true. Did figure it out. Not Richard, not Catherine.
Not Tess Desmond.
Maybe Bailey.
Oh, yeah, Bailey. For bringing
taking in Joey and just like honestly surviving post all of this. So,
yeah. Okay, Bailey.
Oh God. I'll rate it a 7. I liked it better than the last times when I did a 6, but still.
I would do the same. Okay. I feel like we talked a lot, but
mostly about the Muppets.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so both 7 out of 10. Next week, remember, it's just gonna be the one episode on Alex leaving his last episode. Great.
Stick around for post-op. We'll talk about Tess Anderson / Desmond, a.k.a. Funny Girl, a.k.a. Beanie Feldstein.
Time of death is 1951.
Beep. Beep.